Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Thanks, Bob, for being our scripture reader this morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Good morning. We are here today gathering for worship in the presence of the Lord. It's great to be here, and I look forward to sharing with you from God's word this morning. Today, we are working our way through the book from Tom Rainer, I Will. This is a sermon series and Sunday school class series that we are doing here at Eden Church. The subtitle of this book is 9 Traits of the Outwardly Focused Christian. And we're going to use chapter 3 today as we talk about Tom Rainer's chapter. It's entitled, I Will Grow Together with Others. Part of being outwardly focused is connecting in and growing with other people. And so today, focusing on that topic, I have selected our scripture reading from Hebrews 10, and my sermon is entitled, Why We Need Each Other. We're going through this course, this book, and we're letting it kind of shape our preaching and our study for the season, because Eden Church needs to be a healthy church. And to be a healthy church, we need to understand what God is wanting to do in your and my lives together. So today we're going to talk about why we need each other. I want you to think about the Christian life like a race. How many of you are runners out there? Raise your hand if you are a person that runs for fun. So I see Marin's hand up. I see Gabby, Amelia's hands up. I see Corey's hands up. And Connor, are you kind of like not so sure? How many of you hate to run? Raise your hand. Okay. That's good. You can put your hands down. So I used to run in the Marines, but now people say, do you still run? I say only when chased. So running can be hard work. And because of that, it is an apt metaphor to think about the Christian life. So let's think about Christianity. Being a Christian is like running a race. It's a long race. And you have a course to run for the race. And of course, there's the finish line when the race is over, and there are other people running that race along with you. What does it take to get to the finish line? What does it require of you, the runner, to see the race through to the end? Well, in like fashion, being a Christian, being on the right path with God, moving in the right direction, there are certain things that are needed of us if we're going to cross the finish line, if we're going to end our life well, being the people that God is wanting us to be. So what does it take to run the race that's set before you? We're going to talk about that this morning as we look at Hebrews chapter 10 and as we reflect on chapter 3 in Tom Rainer's book. By the way, we gave out copies of this in the weeks prior to the start of this sermon series. If you did not get a copy and you would like a copy, I know there is one left in the office all the way over by the mailboxes on the top. So if when the service is over, run in there and grab that and take it home and you can read it and catch up with that. But one of the things that I want you to know as we talk today about why we need each other is in Rainer's chapter, it's I Will Grow Together, he makes a pretty important statement about the importance of Christian relationships. He says on page 37, this sentence, We cannot grow effectively as a believer in isolation. I want you to think about that statement. It's a true statement. Growing as a Christian, that is growing into the full maturity of the life God wants you to have, like running a race course, it has an end to it, it has a finish line, and we have to be together in that journey, in the race, if we're going to see it to the end. All of us are running a race. All of us are growing as Christians. And as Tom Rainer says, we cannot grow effectively if we're in this in an isolated sense. So what do we need to grow? What do we need happening in us to run the race that is set before us as believers? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, in the scriptures that were read for us this morning, there are a few things in there worth noting, points that I would like to highlight, things that we need to be about in our life if we want to run the Christian life well. All of these are identified by the statement, "Let us." Let us. See, the writer here, we don't know exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews, but it was written by a follower of Jesus, a Christian, who himself was formerly a Hebrew, an Israelite, a Jew. And he's writing to other people who were formerly Hebrews, Israelites, Jews, who had become believers in Jesus as Messiah and Lord. And all the way through this book, there's great imagery and connectivity between what we find in our Old Testament about the way God did it before to Jesus and the way God is doing it now. And so a writer is working and laying the foundation for why we need to stay on track with Jesus. And he is the better way to be connected to God. But along the way in this letter, the writer often says, "Let us," and it's a way to appeal to the audience. Here's what you need to do. So what are the things that we need to experience in this race of life? What do we need to have happen in us to get to the end? Well, first of all, we need experience. We need experience with God, in the presence of God. The writer says in verse 22, "Let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us approach. And the language here, if you were to back up and look at the paragraph around it, you would see he's talking about approaching God, going into the sanctuary to connect with God in an intimate way. We need to experience God intimately. We need to be in his presence. It's what the writer is trying to say. Now, notice the imagery here. It's very rich in the language of the Old Testament way. The initial readers of this section, this letter, as well as the author, knew very clearly the way that a Jewish person connected to God. They believed God was everywhere, but they believed there's a certain way that you get closer to God and experience the benefits of being close to God. And for them, it was the way God revealed himself to them, the way God established for them in the old covenant. That is through the place called the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. It was a special place where God put his glory and said, "Meet me there." But in that system, if we lived in that system, we could never know God personally, because God is on the inside and we're on the outside. We're not good enough. We're not clean enough. We would bring an offering. We would give an animal to the priest, who would sacrifice it and pour the blood out on the altar on our behalf so that we could experience forgiveness, but we would not have a personal connection with God. But the writer of Hebrews is saying now, through Jesus, in this new covenant, Jesus has shed his blood. He's the one and only sacrifice needed for our sins. He is the way we connect to God with intimacy. He is the high priest who represents us to the Father perfectly, and he is there beckoning us to come into the presence of the Lord. We are invited to enter into the throne of grace. This is a call by the writer to experience intimacy with God, to regularly meet with our Maker. If you and I are going to run the race as a Christian, if we're going to be effective, we're going to get to the finish line and do well throughout our life as people of faith, we're going to need to regularly experience the presence of the Lord in our midst. You're going to need holy time with God. Just like a runner who is running a real long race like a marathon needs to fuel their body to make sure they've got what it takes to keep them moving forward, in the same way, we need our spiritual energy to finish the race. For a runner, if you don't eat well, if you don't prepare before the race, if you don't energize your body along the way with fluids, with carbs, with electrolytes, if you're not drinking enough along the way, you're going to run out of steam. You're going to have a lot of problems, and you're going to crash, and that's the end of your run. And so for us as Christians, in like manner, what we need is times of refreshing from the Lord, and that comes by seeking out the presence of God. What's fascinating to me is, if you read this chapter closely, is God has done everything in his part to open the door for us. He has provided the perfect sacrifice in his son Jesus Christ. He's provided the perfect priest to represent us in his son Jesus Christ. He beckons us to come freely into his presence. But do we come? Do we engage? Do we seek time with the Lord? I believe the command here, let us approach, it's not just talking about personal time. It's talking about group time in the presence of God, kind of like what we're having here today. So it's great that you have time with God personally as you pray, maybe sitting on your back porch before work tomorrow morning. You're reading your Bible, having a cup of coffee, and you're thinking about who God is and what God's teaching you in Scripture. But there's nothing to replace time together with God's people, before God, in his presence, in worship. That's the first component for finishing the race. So today is Communion Sunday, and we have here on the table the items of Holy Communion. But the word communion means to be connected to be united with. And this is where we meet with God. This is where we spend time with Jesus in worship. So congratulations to you. You're in the right place. You are in worship, experiencing God in praise and preaching and the sacraments as you are feeding your spirit for the run that you have. But there's more to it than that. Not only do we need to have experience, we need endurance. The writer goes on to say in verse 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. We need endurance. And endurance for the Christian means we need to continue to believe, continue to hold fast to our love for God and for Jesus, no matter how hard it gets. The Christian life requires endurance. It's like the runner in a long race. You know, when you're out running a 12-mile run, about mile three, you might start to be developing a blister on your foot, and that pain can get so annoying you just want to quit and give up. But you're not supposed to. You're supposed to attend to that blister and wrap it, and then you get back up and you keep on going. Or if you're out running and you start to get cramps real bad in your legs, you stop for a moment and you stretch a little bit. Maybe if you have a banana or something with potassium, you eat it to make sure you got what you need in your body. And then you return to the task of running before you. You don't stop, you endure, you keep going. And to be a true Christian is like that. It is saying, I am in the run, I'm not going to quit. No matter how hard it gets, I'm going to endure to the end. And the reason we wanted to have endurance is because that is the mark of a real Christian. If you want to know if a person really is a Christian or not, it's not how they start the race, it's how they finish it. In fact, Jesus himself, as he taught his disciples, he had many things to say about the importance of endurance. For example, he taught a parable about the sower scattering the seeds of God's word out on the different soils, and some there was growth and fruit, and others there was not. Well, in that metaphor, Jesus talked about a group of people who will initially start well, but it won't last. For example, I'll put it up on the screen. Jesus talked about those where the seed fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And then Jesus went on a few verses later to interpret that to his audience. He said, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. Do you get that? They believe for a while, but it's not real belief, because if it was, it would have endured to the end. It would have had endurance. Jesus not only said that here in this parable, but as he's talking to his disciples about his coming at the end of the age, he tells them it's going to be a very terrible time. People are going to turn against you simply because you belong to me. And then he said this in Mark 13:13, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. You notice that? Being a Christian is not popular. It's not easy. It is hard. Today we have brothers and sisters around the world who are in prison, who have experienced the loss of a job or the loss of their family because they've chose to follow Jesus Christ. It can be very hard. But the way that we cross the finish line is we have endurance to say, I'm running with Jesus and I'm not going to quit. I'm going to serve him my whole life through. That's the second component that we need. If we want to run the race of being a Christian, we need, first of all, experience. We need encounters with God's Spirit to fuel us and to energize us. But then we need endurance. We need to keep on the track no matter how hard it is. And that leads to the third component that we need to finish the race, and that is encouragement. And that's where we need each other. The writer of Hebrews offers his third let us here. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day meaning the end, the finish line. Keep pushing each other to move forward. We're talking here about provoking one another, encouraging one another. It's that idea of running and the person beside you is struggling and you go, I need to tell them, let's go, let's keep moving. Or they look at me and they see I'm struggling and they say, come on, you keep it up, don't quit now, we're too close, keep running. We need each other to make sure that we don't quit, that we stay on the path till we cross the finish line. But here's the question. How can we encourage each other as the scripture commands if we don't know each other? How can we encourage each other if we're not in some way building proximity into our lives where we're intersecting with each other on a regular basis? And not just time together, but emotional proximity, where I know you and your struggles, and you know me and my struggles, and we know how to speak words of encouragement and truth and challenge to each other. We need each other. We need each other to finish the race well. That's why small groups, as Tom Rainer pointed out in his book here, are so essential for that. It's the church. In the small sense, church in a big sense, is when we're all in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning. But we don't really know everybody in the sanctuary. But when you get into a small group setting, things happen there. Relationships get built there. Connections are made that lead us to encourage each other to finish the race well. Chapter 3 is a very significant chapter in my book, and I would encourage you, if you've not read it, to read it in there, because Tom Rainer talks a lot about the benefits of being in a group of some setting, whether it's a Bible study or a small group, a ministry team, a choir, whether it's being a part of a fellowship activity. There's relationship building that happens. There's a wonderful blessing of getting to know people and getting to know their story, and they're getting to know yours, of remembering things about your life and details. See, in the big group, you can just be a face in the crowd that nobody knows. But when you migrate your way into a smaller group setting, then you take a risk of letting your story be known to others, and they take a risk letting you know their story, but it's there in that group that real relationship building happens. Secondly, Tom Rainer talks about the ministry factor with smaller groups, that great ministry takes place. We talked about that in our Sunday school class, about how when we really know each other and the challenges and burdens that we face, then there's opportunities to serve each other and help each other through tough times. We're trying to do that here at Eden Church, to be a place where we can minister to each other. It's helping some, but it's a lot easier when it's in a small group and everybody's not waiting for the staff or the pastor to get it organized, because you're connected to people and you're invested in people and you're serving people. That's ministry. That's powerful. And it will build a lifelong bond when you're doing it together. This morning, I'm thinking about our team in Uganda, how they are serving together there in a foreign land. The 17 of them are there together, building relationships for the travel and then the ministry. And they're going to come home, and they're going to have that connection with each other that's going to last their whole life through. When we serve together, the bonds that we make are wonderful. Tom Rainer talks about the teaching factor. Whenever you are in a smaller group, you learn more than simply sitting under the pastor's sermon from week to week. So let me encourage you to dig into that. Get into a small group or a Bible study where you're not, you know, doing a project with somebody. That's good to be ministering together, but you're pursuing God together. You're seeking God in the scriptures, trying to better understand his word, trying to understand the real God who's revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. It's there in those group settings that we dig in, we ask questions, we grow deeper in our faith. The fourth important factor he talked about is the evangelism factor. Tom Rainer shared a story about how a man who came to faith in Christ because he got invited into a small gathering of people, and he could see relationships built there. He could watch people live out their faith, people that he could know their stories. And that was an important component, not just hearing about Jesus, but watching people serve Jesus, that caused this person to come into a relationship with God, and at one sense being far from God and now having a relationship with God through the power of small groups. So there's a lot of benefits of belonging together, of seeing ourselves vastly in need of each other as a church family. So why do we need each other? Well, because the scriptures teach us here in Hebrews 10 that our health, our vitality is vastly connected to our relationship with other people. For example, Tom Rainer talks about this in his book. I'm going to read the quote here from page 38. We all agreed in our Sunday school class that these words are pretty blunt, so be ready. I'm not saying them to you to make you feel bad, but to challenge you to think about your level of involvement in your church family. Tom Rainer writes these words: if you are not in a group, you are not really committed to your church. If you're not in a group, you are at best a marginal church member. If you're not in a group, the likelihood of your dropping out from your church is high. If you're not in a group, you could be a Christian sluggard. That means you may be an incredibly lazy and uncommitted Christian. Now, think about what he just said. Do you really care about Eden Church? Do you care about this congregation and its ministry to the Lord? Then you have to find a way to plug in, to be in a group setting, Bible study, Sunday school, serving on a committee, singing in the choir. You have to find a way to plug in and belong on a smaller level as a Christian. If you're not doing that, you're not really committed. In fact, he says you're just a marginal church member. Do you want to be a marginal church member? Is that how you want to be remembered at the end of your life? Well, he came to church on Sunday. Is that what you want to be celebrated for? Or do you want to be remembered as someone who was invested in the work of God at Eden Church? So every year I work with the membership committee. Our membership committee, for those of you who don't know,'s task is to help us review our membership roster. So we have a constitution and bylaws, and it says in there that to belong here as a member, you have to publicly profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and then you have to maintain a level of active membership. And so our membership committee looks over the membership roster every year and says, who hasn't been here? Who is a member that is now inactive? And they're not giving, they're not coming, and so the membership committee helps us review a list of people to contact. And so this month, I've been trying to find time to call and talk to people that are members of Eden Church to say, hey, where have you been? You haven't been here, you haven't belonged. Are you going somewhere else? Are you not going anywhere? Please come back. Do you want us to change your membership status? We're gonna change your status to inactive if you don't come back. As I've worked my way through the list, I want you to know not a single person that I'm calling was in a small group. Of the 20-some people that I'm reaching out to that have officially membership status here, but they haven't come, they have kind of fallen away, they did exactly like Tom Rainer said. If you are not connected into a group, you're more than likely to fall away from your church family. That's important. It's important that we as a congregation become a church that builds small groups into every part of our life. We have members who say, I will grow together with others. That's our goal. A couple years ago, our council made a drastic decision to address that. Some of you remember we had a 9:15 service here, and our council and I had conversations about it. I was very concerned because I saw a lot of people who were here for an hour, had their kids in Sunday school for an hour, but they were marginally connected to the life of this church. So our council, our congregation had conversations, and the council finally made a decision to eliminate that service. The goal was, we have kids in Sunday school that know their Sunday school teacher, and they know their Bible stories from their teacher, but they don't know what it means to be a part of this church community. And we also had adults that were here for an hour, but they weren't building into relationships with other people. So we made a decision to eliminate the 9:15 service to encourage people to go to a Sunday school and go to church with their family. What happened when we did that? For those of you who don't remember, we had quite a few people that left. They didn't want that. They didn't want that level of commitment to be expected of them to be a part of the Eden Church family. What that showed me is they really weren't committed to the church body. They were on the margin. And when their needs weren't met, they left. My desire is not to be like that. My desire and the council's desire, we're praying that we become a church where the vast majority of us are active and connected group members. We want very few people on the margins. We want people that are committed. Why do we want to do that? Because, as Tom Rainer says here in his book, it's very important. Listen to this. He says, first, this is page 42, first, the health of the church is directly tied to the health of the groups in your church. The church's health is directly tied to the health of groups in the church. So we want to be a healthy church. We're going to be a church with healthy groups. where people are connected. They don't just show up for an hour on Sunday and leave, but we're invested in each other in the joys and sorrows of life. So if you're already in a group in some way here at Eden Church, if you're connected into a Sunday school class, a Bible study, a choir, a ministry team, a committee, wonderful, that's great. If you're not, you're not in the right place in your relationship with God, and you need to change that. You need to figure out, where can I connect in and belong and serve so that I can be a blessing to my church family? Rainer goes on to say, the groups in the church help close the back door. Let me explain this metaphor to you. The front door is the way new people come into Eden Church. They may come in because you've invited them here on Sunday morning. They may come because a youth invites them Wednesday night to youth, but they get connected into our church family. But what happens with people over time is they stop coming, they stop connecting, they stop caring, and they leave. They go out the back door. And Tom Rainer is right here. The way that the back door gets closed is when we have people that are in groups, people that notice when someone's not here, people would notice when someone is struggling, and we say, you're important to me, you need to be here. So do you want to help our church grow? Do you want to see us grow numerically in the future? The way it's going to happen is we've got to close the back door before we start opening the front door and inviting people in. And the way we close the back door is we have a group ministry here in place where we're plugging in people, where people are getting involved, where people, when they become a member here, are in an area of serving with others, building those relationships. Then we will see the growth that we want to happen here at the church. Thirdly, Tom says, you as a church member should be committed to being a part of a small group ministry in your church. And he goes on to say in this section about the importance of being committed, he says, you may be in the larger gathering of corporate worship, but you are not in community. And he's right, you can come in the door here, shake a couple people's hands, and know nothing about anybody's life, have no real sense of community. Are you longing to belong into real relationships, healthy relationships where God is at the center of those relationships? Then you need community. And you need to find your community here in Eden Church with its family. So let me encourage you to do your part to strengthen our commitment to grow together as a small group, so that we can grow as a whole, as a church family. But why do we need to do that? Because that's the way God designed us to grow. We are to encourage one another, keep each other moving forward. We need to grow together if we're gonna grow closer to God. So as I bring this message to a close, let me take some time and let's pray and ask God to help each of us become a place where we are committed to grow together with our church family. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty God, I thank you for the church, for the way that you have created a community for us to belong to grow in, to experience the presence of God amongst your people. And God, I thank you for the ways that we have so many strong people here very committed to the community of Eden Church. They're in small groups, they're in ministry, they're involved. But Lord, I know there are many that aren't, that are just here on Sunday mornings, and I pray that you would move us and change us in that regard. I pray, Father, that you would raise up those kind of relationships with each other that we need so that we can encourage one another. We can finish the race together and serve you well in all of that you've given us to do. So help us, we ask to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.